Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, JD. And with me, as always, the one and only Mouse is in the house.
Yo, what up? What's going on, JD?
Man, you know, just knee deep in Little League Baseball, Spurs games, staying busy, man. How about you?
Yeah, same thing, same busy. I was thinking earlier, like, you know, you're like, we outside of this podcast talk probably every day, right? Like you're one of my closest friends. It's not just something we do, and there's a lot of topics that we have like complete opposite end of the spectrum thoughts on, right? Like you have one thought, and I kind of completely differ. And I started thinking about them today because someone else posted something, and I started thinking about the topics, and on most of them, there are things that I love and you hate. I was trying to think of one that you love and I hate, but I just can't find it. And I think that makes me the better friend.
So I hate things that you love.
Yeah, like the, you know, cold brew, right? That someone posted a picture of a cold brew.
Yeah.
You, like, you absolutely hate it. I think of Traeger, right, or pellet grills. Uh-huh. I love, you hate.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I was just wondering why you're so mean to me.
So my thing with cold brew. So I drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
I bought myself a real nice expensive coffee maker for the house. I'm not going to say I'm a snob. I enjoy regular coffee.
Yeah.
And when I drink a cup of coffee, if I'm drinking it at home, which is most of the time, I use a regular coffee mug. You know, the old school diner mug.
Yeah.
I have one that says America's Team during Cowboy season. I have a UTSA one. I have a Longhorn one. I have one from, you never watched the show Community, right?
No, I never seen it.
There's an inside joke where it's Troy and Abed in the morning. I have a mug of that. Anyways, when I drink my coffee and I'm working from home, the last swig ends up always being cold.
Yeah.
And for any coffee drinker, when you're drinking hot coffee, it's good. You're enjoying it. If the last swig is cold, it's gross. Like it catches you off guard. It's not what you're expecting, and it's just gross. So whenever I tried cold brew, that's just what was in my head. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't supposed to be cold.
Yeah.
Now, I don't hate you because you drink it. It just...
I would hope not.
It grosses me out.
I was just wondering, I was like, is there anything JD loves that I hate? And I was like, no, I can't think of anything. Like, but for some reason, things I'm passionate about, you take a firm, draw a line in the sand.
I like Kellen Moore. I don't love him, though, like that. But I like Kellen Moore. And that's something you get mad about.
I don't know. Might be a reach. I don't hate him. I just...
Bro, oh, hold on. You hate Kellen Moore.
No. I just think it's time to turn the page on Mr. Like Moore.
I bet you stayed up at night and you've thought to yourself that it's Kellen Moore's fault, but the gas is so expensive right now.
Don't get me started on that.
I bet you blame Kellen Moore, like in your head. I bet if I ask your wife, she'd say, yeah, he did float that idea out. That
I've printed like Kellen Moore and stickers. A sign that says I did that and put this just...
Yeah, there. Like people do the Biden ones, you're Kellen Moore, and you put them everywhere.
Oh, man. I was just wondering.
There's got to be something that you... Because you're...
No, there's not. I'm
everything
telling
that
you.
I guess because everything that you dislike is like food related. Like, I don't feel passionate about beans, but you hate beans.
It's not that I hate them. I just don't like them.
Yeah. Swimming. I like swimming a lot.
I love swimming. I just can't swim. If I could swim, I'd enjoy it.
Oh, man.
But I get it. I get the the idea of cold coffee. But see, here's the thing for me. I'm not a huge fan of hot coffee. Like, I don't like anything super, super hot, like food or anything. So if I pour like a cup of coffee, of hot coffee, say I'm at the office or something like that, I'll usually let it sit for like 15 minutes and then I'll drink it.
Let's go back to food though. So you're at a restaurant, they make it fresh for you.
Oh yeah.
What do you do? Do you let it sit?
Like, no, it's hot. I don't like my food cold, but you know, sometimes
I know, but sometimes it's really hot.
Yeah, you got to blow on it a little bit, you know, or you make, I mean.
So what do you do? Mexican restaurants are notorious, and I don't know why it's only Mexican restaurants, but the food's so hot, the plate's hot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's going to be good if they say, "Ooh, don't touch the plate, mijo."
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's going to be good. But it's a crazy, what a phenomenon, right? That only Mexican restaurants have hot plates.
Yeah. Do you think they like keep them in the oven?
Did they keep it by the food? I don't know. That's an excellent question. I need that answered.
Are the plates in the oven, or maybe they're just under like a hot lamp or something? I don't know. They got something to it.
So if you're, I know you like to go to Chili's for your authentic fajitas. When they're sizzling, when they're sizzling.
That's why I don't go there. Like, can you bring me the hot sizzling fajitas? But I do not want them sizzling.
Yeah. Have them sizzling and then wait 15 minutes before you bring it to my table.
Oh, man. I don't know.
That's awesome. We're going to find things. Now that you've put it in my head, we're going to find things that you don't like.
No, bring them. Bring them to the table.
What's funny is we do like our opposite ends of little things. And then for the past couple of episodes, like a good like 2 months, we've been agreeing on everything.
Yeah, we have. Do the listeners want that, or do they not want that?
I don't know. I do know that you told me the meanest thing anyone's ever told me in my life.
What the? I don't ever say that. You out did. Loud. What did I tell you?
It's on this podcast, so people can hear it.
What did I tell you?
That I don't even like the Cowboys.
Sometimes it feels that way. But you've been pro.
I mean, I'm level-headed.
You've been, no.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of the times you are, sure. I would give you
that. You know what's funny? It's funny that we bring that up, because on Twitter, the last, I would say, all of free agency, I've been accused of, like, I've legit been accused of carrying Jerry Jones' water. That's the phrase that was used.
Yeah.
I have a good friend of the show, James Espinoza. He's on Corpus Christi radio. So if you're in the Corpus area, he's on Sundays on Sports Rush 1440. Real cool guy. 98.7 FM. Sundays 9 to 11. Want to give him a shout out. But for like 2 weeks, he accused me of just being like a Jerry Jones homer.
And I have... The tide has turned with you and Jerry, or at least it seems like, here recently. You have been...
I'm level-headed. There's things that I hate about him. And there's something he did this week that I did not like, and we'll get to that.
Maybe it's me calling and not a Cowboys fan. Do you realize, like, oh, man, maybe I should. Maybe I should think different.
Maybe I like to be argumentative, because now everyone's against him. But that's not
it. Now you want to be on that side?
I want to go against the curve. But before we get to the Cowboys, because there is something he did that I don't like, and he does it a lot. As of right now, we're recording this during the Memphis game, Spurs-Memphis. They're down now, but as of now, they're the 10th seed, and they are in the play-in game. So last week, you made Saturday's game a huge priority.
Yeah.
You even hyped me up. I was like, man, I'm gonna grill some sizzling fajitas for this game. Like, this is do or die right here. And it's funny, because you said it first. And between Saturday's win and the Lakers losing against the Mavs yesterday, I think Team Tank is officially dead.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, Mike Jimenez, another friend of the show, I feel like I'm just name dropping like I'm cool, but yeah. I'm giving them props. Mike Jimenez, he's on the San Antonio Sports Star Station, noon to 2. He actually did a funeral today on air for Team Tank.
Oh, wasn't he Team Tank? Or
exactly. He's like, all right, okay, it's over. Like, we're not doing this. But I want to get your thoughts because you circled that game and the Spurs won. They're in 10th place. Have you completely buried – have you buried Team Tank along with most of San Antonio?
Man, because I'm kind of torn because the whole time, like, I don't – I want us to go out and win, but I kind of – like, I want us not to make the playoffs too. So it's kind of a weird situation.
So you're still kind of Tank. Not Tank, but – you're still hoping.
Yeah, I want them to win every single game, but I want it the end of the year to come, and I want us not to get in the playoffs. That I know it doesn't really make sense, right? But it's just kind of how I feel because I know we're not making a run. I mean, I don't think at least we're. I don't feel like we're making a run, so I'd rather take advantage of a better draft pick. But at the end of the day, I wanted them to win Saturday. I want them to win tonight. If they lose and they fall out of that 10th spot, I'm gonna be unhappy. Right, so it's kind of weird. What about you?
Okay, I'm all in. I want to make the playoffs. I want to be back in the playoffs. I used to pride myself as a Spurs fan that the Spurs had only missed the playoffs like 4 times in the history of the whole franchise. The number's up to 6. Like, I don't want to double it in my. I don't want to double it right now. Like, let's get back in there. Because here's the thing to me. I think I'm a firm believer that the NBA lottery, the NBA draft is a crapshoot. Yeah, these guys play for one season. And yeah, if you're in the top 10, top 5, you have a better chance at the crapshoot. But it's still a risk. I just like the fact that we have 3 first round picks. Because you're either going to use all 3 of those picks. And you're giving yourself 3 chances to land a stud, or you're going to use those picks to trade up, or you're going to use those picks and all your salary cap space to trade for a star, or you're going to just flat out use your salary cap to go after a big free agent. So I just think, I don't think not being in the top 10 isn't like a death sentence of not getting an elite player. They've put themselves in such a good position to either go for a max contract type of guy or trade for one of those guys or just flat out draft 3 picks in the first round and give yourself 3 chances of hitting the lottery, of hitting big.
Yeah.
So I'm not hanging my hat. Because here's the thing, too. We haven't been in the top 5 all year. Or bottom 5, I guess.
No.
So even when Team Tank was in full force, which has been a big debate on Twitter, you were only going to have like a – if the Spurs stayed around the 8th spot, they still only had like a 26% chance of landing in the top 4, which is not good odds. I'm not a math major, but 26% is not that great. So it's a pipe dream to get in the top 4. So you know what? Let's go make the playoffs. Because I think a playoff series is very beneficial to this team, this young team. Just the fact that they're fighting for something right now. Every game means something to them. Every game's super important to them. That's going to help their growth. And I mean, when the Spurs had the big 3, a lot of times we weren't the most talented team, right? On paper. Sure. But playoff experience and knowing how to win in a 7-game series, that meant a lot to this franchise. So I think getting that exposure and experience is really good for this team. So all those being said, let's make a run.
So what's the word on like the play-in tournament? Are we considering that playoffs? Like when teams say, okay, no. You made the playoff 10 consecutive years, it's not that play-in tournament, right? You got to make the next run.
Yeah. You got to qualify for that. So they'll have to play. They'll have to. It's a double elimination, I think.
Yeah.
So they'll have to get in to make the playoffs. Got it. But I'm rooting for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I think it's good for this team. It also shows growth that. Because we've been wanting growth all year, right? If this team is clicking on all cylinders at the end of the year to the point where they fight and earn a playoff spot, that's big news. I mean, that's extremely encouraging for this team. And we could talk about There's a few free agents. You know, Donovan Mitchell from the Jazz seems frustrated and might want out of Utah. Zach LaVine's going to be a free agent for the Bulls. Bradley Beal. There's names out there if the Spurs want to spend some money and the money they have. So this team could be different. Or even this team could add a real difference maker next year, even if we're not drafting in the top five, top eight, whatever. So I'm all in. I want to see Murray play in the postseason. I want to see Keldon Johnson play in the postseason. And truth be told, if we eliminate the Lakers,
how nice is that?
And the Clippers, oof, call that a success. But I think even Team Tank, Mikey Menez, and everybody else, I think they realize that's not going to happen. They might still bitch and moan a little bit, you know, here or there, but I'm sure tonight, since the Spurs are losing to the Grizzlies, who's a really good team, you might see a few cat calls about, oh, this is why we shouldn't be in the playoffs, but nah. Let the chips fall where they may. What are you going to do, sit Murray? Hey, Murray, we know you're the ultimate competitor and you earned a playoff spot, our all-star game, but we don't feel like letting you play meaningful basketball anymore, right? You just can't do that.
No, you can't create that culture.
Exactly. That's what you've always said. You've always said you can't create a loser culture. And that's another thing. Because what is the one thing the Spurs are known for? A winning culture.
Winning.
That's our calling card. That's what we hang our hat on. You go out tanking, I mean, that just kind of goes against everything. It's almost like selling out, selling your soul. For what? A 26% chance of landing a top five pick. So I like it. I like what this team's doing. Even though tonight doesn't look like it's our night, but let's get Josh Richardson some minutes. Let's get Keldon and Lonnie's coming back and Vassell.
Well, a couple of games left, so we'll find out here pretty quick. Right after tonight, I think it's only six games.
And honestly, I'm throwing out percentages, right? ESPN, I think, you know, they have that percentage of, oh, what's your percentage of winning, all that. I think the Spurs making the play-in is like 75%.
Oh.
Like, they have an easy schedule down the road, and they own the tiebreaker with the Pelicans and the Lakers, I think.
And the Lakers, yeah.
So it's looking good for meaningful basketball here in San Antonio, and it'll be nice to have that back.
Yeah, and the good thing is the Lakers and Pelicans play, I think, this Friday.
Yeah, so one of them is going to, you know, obviously drop or lose to
it. Yeah.
But I'll be at the game Friday.
Oh.
So if any listeners are going to be there Friday.
Is that the Portland game?
Yes. So I'll be there. So if anyone wants to meet up or, you know, at halftime or something, let me know. I don't.
What will you be wearing? How will they find you?
I'll be the Mexican with a Spurs shirt on. No, I mean, you could send a message on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
Can you please note that you are you're Mexican, right? You don't want people thinking the wrong thing.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'll literally be the brownish skin tone guy with a Spurs shirt. It's funny they play the Blazers back to back.
Yeah, Friday and Sunday. True. So what did you see? Did you see that Primo mural pop up a couple days ago?
Yeah, at Rudy Seafood. It's cool.
Have we done that on this show?
Have a paint a mural?
Yeah, a Primo? No, have we reviewed Rudy's?
No, we need to.
Okay.
Are you willing to do it you want to do it today? Or do you want to go again?
No, I haven't done it. No, I haven't. Here's the funny thing. My mom used to live like right up the street from there. Uh-huh. And they would get it regularly and they loved it. They swore by it. They said, you know, some of the best seafood in town. And I've just never had it. So if we haven't done it, we probably should.
Yeah, I know it's a staple. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, that'll be definitely on the list. We got to do it. Like I said last, I think I said it last week. We don't just do the new up and coming restaurants. We also got to do the classics. Got to let people know. Because again, like there's a lot of people. I mean, just because it's a classic doesn't mean everyone's been to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we will review that. That's a good point. All right. So the Spurs are making a run. They're ruining their top 10 pick, but that's all right because it's all about winning here. Lonnie's back on the court. Things are looking up. I'm excited. I've been excited all year. You know, it's funny because watching the Spurs all season has been about growth, right? We want to see the young guys play. Now the young guys have something to play for. Like
Yeah.
we're scoreboard watching, we're chasing a spot. And it's fun. I'm happy for them too, right? Because you know, they put their heart and soul into this, and now there's something to play for. There's a goal. It's not just about, oh, let's grow as players. It's let's get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I
Put a
want to
little
see how
pep in
they
my step.
play. Yeah, how they finish out these last six, seven games, right? I think it's important.
I think it's very important. And then if they do make the play-in game, I want to see how they play in those, you know, do or die situations. This is a big step forward for all of them. And I am looking forward to it so much. I'm excited to go Friday. I've been to a couple games this year, but it's always felt like, again, you're just watching the young guys grow. But when I go Friday, like there's something on the line, you know,
Yeah, it's
they're fighting for
almost like
something.
playoffs. Yeah, playoffs have kind of started, right? These
Yeah.
every game's going to be important. We need every
Exactly.
win.
And the fact that we're chasing the, I'm not even chasing. The fact that we're head to head with the Lakers about it, that's awesome. Like I saw somebody tweet, remember those old school Lakers suck shirts?
Yeah, yep.
I saw somebody post the picture, so I retweeted it. I was like, you know, back to our roots.
Yep.
So it's fun. It's giving me new life about the Spurs. I know some people are upset because the tank or anti-tank, whatever, but it's giving me life, man. And I'm really looking forward to Friday and the rest of the season. I'll see Josh Richardson for the first time, who's becoming a fan favorite. I know we talked about him a few times already, but it seems like everyone's pumped about him, which is really cool because we have him for another year. So he's going to be a Spur. I mean, unless he gets traded, but more than likely, he'll be a Spur next year too. So he's something to build on along with the other young guys.
That's nice.
All right, well, some more basketball is being played. March Madness is winding down. And what's pretty cool about this year is the Final Four set. We had some games at first and foremost, the AT&T Center looked really nice on TV. I didn't get to go to
Yeah.
the games, but it looked really nice. Presented itself very well. We've got three Blue Bloods in the Final Four. And then even Villanova, they're not a blue blood, but they're a really strong basketball program. So you got four brand names. Three of them are legendary schools: Kansas,
Yep.
Duke, North Carolina, Villanova. We get one more Duke, North Carolina game in the Final Four.
How great is that?
That is awesome. That is awesome. Maybe a little too awesome. It might have created a villain in San Antonio. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Before we talk, we don't want to talk too much about Final Four, but
Oh, I know where you're
Eric
going with that.
Church canceled his concert here in town because he's a big North Carolina fan. So he cancels on San Antonio to go to the game. What are your, first of all, do you like Eric Church? And then second, what do you think? What do you think about what he did?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Eric Church. I'm a country music, like all genre, I mean, a lot of genres of music, especially country music. So I like him. It's not like I'm a huge fan of his, but definitely a fan of some of his music. I mean, it sucks that we're on the shitty end or of the stick right there. Like we didn't get,
Yeah.
we're the ones getting kind of shafted. But I get it, man. Like if I was a rock star and I had a concert and the Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship and I had the opportunity to go, I may cancel and go to the game. So, I mean, if he's like, you know, never cheered for them and not much of a fan, it's a little bit different story. But if he's canceling a show here in San Antonio, he's clearly losing out on money. I would think that he's a pretty big fan. And I can't necessarily blame him. He'll be a villain. He'll definitely be on our.
Does he make the villain Mount Rushmore here in town?
Who's that? What's his name?
I mean, Yolanda's gonna be there.
Oh yeah, Yolanda. I didn't even think of the guy who peed on the Alamo. What's his name?
But Ozzy Osbourne. I think people forgave him for that.
Really?
I mean, I don't think we should have, but I don't know if he's on that list. But yeah, let's add, you know, we'll list the villains. Kawhi Leonard.
Yep. Kawhi, yeah.
Charles Barkley.
I guess so, Charles Barkley.
Who else would it be? Mark Cuban was up there for a while.
Yeah. I think he kind of makes the list, at least for a while.
He's on the list. Like,
I think, yeah, people would be talking about it. I don't know if he ever comes back.
I wonder. That's a good question. So I'm a fan. I'm a pretty big fan of his.
Yeah.
I wonder if he comes back. So who else would be on the list? What about, remember Richard Marx, the singer, 80s singer?
Uh-huh. I don't remember his tie to San Antonio.
He came to San Antonio, and then he was upset that the Riverwalk didn't have any vegan options. Oh. And he made a big deal about it. And Mike Taylor from Ticket 760 started like a Twitter war with him about it. Wow. And it became a bigger deal. I don't know if that's a big story citywide, but I know like if you're a Mike Taylor fan or if you just remember that. Richard Marx would be on the low end. Maybe the JV of the hated San Antonio.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Ron Funches, comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He had a set here. I guess it bombed, and he blamed the city. Like, he's like, y'all are just lame.
Didn't you create a whole Twitter war with that guy, or was that somebody else?
I did, because he said, oh, San Antonio's lame. They just don't understand. It's not a good comedy town. And then, like, a week later, he brought it up again, just bashing San Antonio. So I went on to, I was just like, dude, you're sensitive. Like you just can't take that you had a bad set. Everyone has a bad set. Like, quit being so sensitive. It's you. It's don't blame the audience.
Yeah.
And we were going back and forth, and then he admitted he was sensitive.
Oh wow.
And he tried to delete it, but I screenshotted it, and then he blocked me.
He deleted the tweet?
Yeah, but I reposted like, oh, you can't delete it. You're sensitive. You know?
You should just repost that this week. Just
if I can find the screen, you know what? I am, but like, remember the Alamo.
Remind them.
I should warn Eric Church, right? This could be you. Yeah. If you don't make it right, this is going to be you. So yeah. Eric Church is going to be there. And that's a funny.
Is Uncle Dennis on that list?
Oh yeah. Uncle Dennis is definitely on the list.
What about, you know who I thought of, and I don't know if the city of San Antonio hates him, but what about that kid from Jay who like stuck that referee in the bathroom?
Because it's not like he did it to the city, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You gotta make the city mad.
What about the Joey Crawford?
That's a good one. Yeah, because he threw out Duncan for laughing.
For laughing.
That's a good one.
Maybe. Yeah, Derek Church is definitely on that list for sure.
Yeah, he makes the list. All right. That's a good rundown of San Antonio villains. There's got to be more. I wonder who the number – I mean, never mind. It's Yolanda Salazar is going to be number one.
Yeah. Kawhi, and I think Kawhi's number two. Kawhi's a close second. Yeah, it's like 1A and 1B for sure.
He's up there, which is funny. Shaq used to be there, but I think people
– Yeah.
Now that he's come out and said, I made that stuff up about David Robinson –
Karl Malone?
He's a good one. Yeah. And then he's become a horrible human being. So you feel justified in hating him?
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, that's a good one too. We got some good lists. I'm trying to think what else San Antonio would, who we would hate.
I don't know. Santa Ana, maybe?
Yeah. I was going to say we named the award after him, right? The original OG that, that we don't like in San Antonio. All right, all right. So we got that going for us. Eric Church, you've made the list. I wonder if he tries to make it right. If he says, you know what?
How does he?
Just make it, have another show.
Yeah.
So the final four will be back here in 3 years. Do they ask Eric Church to play it?
Nah, no.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
No way.
The Spurs have now made it with, they've cut it to 2-point deficit against Memphis.
Two?
So, oh my God. All this talk about them growing and fighting, they're doing it before our very eyes. As we record this. Tell me you can't get behind that. Everyone, yeah. Team Tank, just let it go. Let's get behind this. All right. So we get the final four. Such a legendary final four that Eric Church has decided to add to the Santa Ana list of hatred. What's funny is in our Spurs and Salsa brackets, I'm still winning, even though my final four has been out forever. But I'm not going to win. Someone's going to surpass me. If Kansas loses, only one person I think will pass me up. But I did have a strong bracket except for my final four teams. If Baylor didn't piss down their own legs, I would have probably won this thing.
Yeah.
But that's how March Madness goes.
Just for the record, in case anybody's wondering, Big Joe and his brother are the bottom of the list. So
I like that you threw out his brother. So the listeners know who Big Joe is. He's a former host. I understand why you bring him up. The brother is your arch nemesis, so you just randomly bring him up, even though no listeners know who the brother is.
I think because me and Big Joe had a little bit of a beef, his brother is like trying to step in for him. So it's almost like they're trying to tag team me, but it's all good. They're on the bottom of the list on this bracket. So if you see him, tell him to make better picks next year.
All right. So we got through basketball, right? And we'll keep you. I mean, we don't have to keep you updated. Any listener will know the Spurs won or not, but this isn't live. But you want to talk a little Cowboys? We'll talk a little Cowboys. A couple of news and notes. Mike McCarthy spoke with the media. He did say that they want to keep Micah Parsons as kind of a freelance player. They don't want to make him a permanent edge rusher. And that was music to my ears. And I know that's a big debate with Cowboys fans, because Parsons is an elite pass rusher, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is this. Parsons is the first of a new breed of super defensive players. Guys that can rush the field, they can rush the passer, they can play in coverage. We've seen tidbits of that, right? Like Khalil Mack to an extent. But we're getting into these special athletes like a Micah Parsons, who will just be called defensive players, you know, specialists, whatever you want to call them. And it's tough for us who have grown up with positions. Oh, you got to be an edge rusher. Oh, you're a middle linebacker. You're a corner. It's going to be tough. It's going to be growing pains. But Cowboys fans, the best news ever is that Parsons will not have a permanent position. Parsons will be – he'll come off the edge and rush sometimes. He'll play linebacker sometimes. He's going to do it all. It's just a new breed. It's kind of like – he's the first Terminator, right? He's Arnold. There's going to be others after him. And there's, you know, one day, it's hard to see it now, but one day there's going to be a player even better than him, maybe. But he's the first of the Terminators. Let him be a Terminator. I am so glad that Mike McCarthy said that. I'm glad that they've decided No, we need Parsons to be free to do his thing. And I know Cowboy fans, there's going to be, especially because we lost Gregory, there's going to be people that want him just to be an edge rusher. But nah, let him roam.
Yeah, and he made a point about it's, you know, it's harder to scheme when you don't know where he's going to be, right?
Exactly.
So if you know he's going to be, what is, you know, hand in the ground every but it's easy to plan for that. And so when you don't know where he's lining up, the opposing team's going to struggle with that. And that's really where he's going to shine.
Exactly. It's like simple motion in offense. You know, when you motion a receiver, just so you can see how the defense is going to cover him, right? Is it man coverage and somebody runs with them? Is it, you know, zone so they just stay in their area? You can create mismatches, numbers game. That's Parsons. What I don't like with Jerry, we were talking about Jerry Jones earlier in this podcast. The one thing that I just hate that he does, and this, I think this has cost him in trade value as well. For whatever reason, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys, they just have to tell you what they're going to do. You know what I mean? Hey, we're going to cut Cooper. Hey, we're going to cut Collins. He came out this way, maybe last week, and said that they're probably going to draft an offensive lineman in the first round. What is the point in telling people your thoughts? It'd be different if he was bluffing, but he's usually not bluffing. He's usually just willy-nilly opening his mouth.
Do you think, you know, he has all these Jerry-isms and all these, you know, weird things he says, and he thinks he's clever. Do you think he's just blabbing and it just comes out, or do you think he's trying to play some reverse psychology and thinks he's tricking people?
I think he's just blabbing because he's the only owner that has a radio show. He's the only owner that is constantly in front of the camera, you know what I mean? Which is my big pet peeve with him. So I think he's just blabbing. He just likes to hear himself talk, and he wants to tell the world what the Cowboys are. You know, he wants the Cowboys in the news. And this is a good way to do it. I just wish I don't mind that they're targeting alignment, and I think there's going to be some good ones when they pick. But you don't have to say that. You can just see what falls to you in the draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You and it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. But I think if you're wondering why Cooper didn't get as much value for a trade or nobody traded for Collins, a lot of that has to do with them telling everyone they're going to get cut. Now, I don't think it completely destroys your value, but it does hamper. It does put you behind the eight ball in training. So I just wish he wouldn't talk to the media. And I was hoping with all the scandals that have happened, but, you know, with his illegitimate daughter, the whole sexual misconduct with his boy.
Rich.
And I just thought maybe he would stay out of the limelight and just not. But there's obviously too many leaks, because even when he doesn't talk, whatever the Cowboys are thinking does get out to the press.
Yeah.
So there's just too much of that culture. But the draft is coming up, and they still haven't spent any of that cap space they created. I know I've been pro Cowboys, and I was okay with a lot of their moves, and I still am. But spend some of that cap space, man. That's what you create. Yeah, you made good moves. Now spend it.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they haven't signed. I mean, I guess we know Stephen Jones is calling a lot of the shots, and we know he doesn't like to spend in free agency. Right, his tactics, or the way he likes to create his team, is through drafting well. Which is generally done, but you have this money, man. Go out and spend it. There's big names that are out there.
Yeah, and I don't even want to speculate who they would spend it on, because they're not. It's frustrating that you did do smart moves, in my opinion, to create cap space. You can let go of Collins because you have Steele. You let go of Cooper, and, you know, we already went through that. I think it's a good move, whatever. You don't get Gregory. You do re-sign Kearse and Hooker and Leighton Van Der Esch, so you do keep some of your defense intact, but you still have plenty of cap space. use it. Like, you don't. I mean, what are they holding it for? To buy curtains? I mean, yeah. Use the cap space that you created. You did smart moves, but it only looks smart if you go out and use it for something good. And I know we still have some free agency left, but they've already ruled out Bobby Wagner, and I just don't know what they're doing. But again, I won't completely judge this offseason until after the draft, but it does frustrate me that we're just sitting on all that money.
Do you have any concern with the news or the reports on Gallup getting worse and worse and worse as we get closer to the season?
As far as he'll miss like one or two games beginning
yeah,
of the year.
Yeah, because he was like, yeah, when it, he was going to be, he's not going to miss any of the season. He'll be here training camp. And then it was like, oh, he hopes to be ready by game one. And then now it's like he's going to miss probably 2 to 4 games to start.
Yeah, it's and like, I think that's why drafting a receiver is important. I think going to get James Washington was important. And you still need a receiver in the draft. Now, I know you don't make these decisions short term, right? They signed Gallup to a longer deal. So long term, it's still a smart move. But to start the year, you did put yourself in a weird spot. Now, signing James Washington right away, maybe that's why they pulled the trigger so quick, right?
Yeah.
They thought, all right, we're going to need some depth here. We're going to need some, you know, some solid talent. Let's do that. I'm still a firm believer that wide receivers are so easy to draft. I'm okay because they probably knew what was going to happen and they didn't sign him for the first 3 weeks. They signed him to a long-term deal where they like what they have with him. So I'm not overly concerned. I think they'll draft someone in the second or third round, or if somebody good falls to them in the first, they might do that, but I'm not overly concerned. I'm more concerned with if, you know, gun to head off the offensive line. I think, but again, Jerry Jones already told the world he's going to do that with the first pick. So, I don't have much to complain about. I'm not one of these skies falling Cowboy fans. My only complaint is don't tell everybody what you want to do and go spend some of that cap space. Is it JC Treader? Treader, he's a guard center. He fills a major need. He's really good. You sign him, you can pretty much draft best player available in the first round with no regrets, whatever it is, because you would fill a major need in the middle of your line. And I don't understand why that's not happening.
Yeah.
That's my big pet peeve. You could do that right now and I would be over the moon. If they signed JC Treader, I would really be singing the Jones family praises. But that's my only real concern. I wanted to ask you, Jalen Ramsey was on that podcast with Ryan Clark. It's a good podcast. Micah Parsons has a good episode on there. So he was on there. He thought he's going to go to the Cowboys. So, of course, the topic comes up. And right now it's hindsight, right? Oh, well, yeah. You know, Zeke's not what he used to be. They should have drafted Jalen Ramsey. What are your thoughts on that whole situation?
Yeah, so, you know, he came out and said the Cowboys told him to his face they were going to draft him if he was there at 4. And he was all expecting to be a Cowboy. I think he said he was a Cowboys fan, or maybe his dad, somebody else was a Cowboys fan growing up. And so he was excited for that. Man, you know, when I think about it, I still think Zeke was the right choice at that point, because there's no way we would have been able to know how the rest of the, you know, next few years was going to shake out. I mean, Zeke was so dominant. I know we're coming off of a, you know, I don't want to say a bad year where he had his, you know, least amount of touches. I mean, he's coming off of a weird year. Turns out now he was playing injured most of the year. But he was so dominant for those first few years. And when I look back at that original squad, Tony Romo was supposed to be, you know, the QB yeah. his rookie year. And so obviously we didn't make a run. We didn't win a Super Bowl. But I don't think adding Jalen Ramsey changes that. So I still say Zeke was the better pick. You know, Jalen will obviously have a longer career, right? We know that if you just look at cornerbacks versus yeah. running backs, right? That's a given. But I'm still happy with that pick for sure. What about you? What are your thoughts?
I keep looking for a spot where me and you could fight, you know, for the fans. But this isn't it, man. I agree with
you. Oh, there you go.
Here's the thing. People forget how dominant Zeke was. Yep. There'd be no Dak Prescott.
No
without way. Zeke. There's no way. Zeke was such a – he was the foundation that made Dak successful. And I've said it many times. I still think Dak and Zeke are the foundation of the franchise. I don't think it's a coincidence that when they started getting banged up this year, the offense slowed down tremendously. And I think that's why I'm not so hard on Kellen Moore. I think the two cornerstones, Dak and Zeke, were a little more banged up than usual. And you could see it in their play. So I think Zeke's still extremely important to this team. And for as much as I think, you know, Jalen Ramsey's probably the best corner in the league. But the trajectory of this entire franchise might not have gone as high as it has.
Yeah.
If it was Ramsey instead of Zeke. And I think that's why I always still defend Zeke. No, he's not what he used to be, and he'll probably be cut in a year or two, but we owe him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This franchise owes him a lot. This franchise is in good shape. They're going to make the playoffs again next year, and they're going to compete. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Zeke, you know, carried the rock for so long and for so well. So I'm with you 100% on that. So I wish we could fight, but we're not.
What's Twitter saying? Do you know?
Oh, 90%, 99% against Zeke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and you are definitely against the grain on that one. Because the whole perception is, oh, Zeke's washed. And then you look at the stats, and it's really not that bad. Like, he's still a 1,000-yard rusher. He averaged a little over 4 yards to carry on a bum leg. I just think people run with narratives and they can't get out of their head. Like the whole Tony Pollard situation.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony Pollard is better right now. And then I went back and looked, and Tony Pollard's just not built to carry the load.
No way.
Even in college, he only had 6 yards to carry. Think about that. Memphis is not known for NFL players. They're a solid program. But they had an NFL running back, and even they said, we're not giving him more than 6 yards to carry. I mean, I'm sorry, 6 carries a game.
Yeah.
So that's just not who he is. And, you know, people run the narrative, oh, they're just playing Zeke because of his contract. No, it's just, I mean, even at Memphis, Pollard, he's not that type of back. He's an explosive, change of pace, get him in space, give him a few carries kind of guy. But it's trendy to hate Zeke, and I'm not rolling with that, even with this narrative of Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey even defended Trayvon Diggs. He said they're different types of corners, and Diggs is the type that, yeah, he might give up some yards, but he's going to give you a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
So it's just a different type than him.
Yeah, and I think maybe you sent that article to me, and I think did it say Jalen has like 5 interceptions in like a couple of years or something nuts? Like,
yeah,
just does not get any picks.
So there's just different types of corners, and Diggs is a turnover machine, and it helps. It works for us.
Yeah.
And honestly, Diggs is a better fit for today's NFL. Right? We're in a high scoring offensive league. You're not going to stop anyone. The days of dominant defenses are few and far between. So you're not going to hold anyone to no touchdowns. But if you can create turnovers and give your offense more possessions, that's extremely beneficial in today's football.
Yeah.
So I'm not only am I okay with it, I love Trayvon Diggs. And I think he'll be the next guy that I'll defend to the death. You know, Zeke, I just said Zeke's that guy too, but I think Trayvon Diggs is going to be the guy too that I'll defend to the death. I'll get in irrational arguments about it. So I'm glad Jalen Ramsey gave him, you know, told, he let them know why Diggs is special and what Diggs does, it's different. But it was just interesting, even when the Cowboys aren't, like Jalen Ramsey's, you know, he's a Super Bowl champion, but two topics come up with the Cowboys in his interview. I just want to get your thoughts. And sorry, fans, we're not going to fight on that either. We're extremely friendly today, except for cold coffee.
Yeah, cold brew, bro. Cold brew.
Cold brew. I'm going to give it a chance. You know what?
Don't you ever, it's a hot summer day and you want something cold, but you want a little bit of a caffeine, a little jolt. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of solves both.
I always drink coffee inside, so I don't care what the weather is.
Yeah. Need to try it outside. I mean?
Maybe I'll, you know what? I might try it one.
You need to be a little spontaneous, look a little wild, crazy. Drink a little cold brew outside, see how it changes your life.
If you eat beans at El Chaparral, I'll drink cold brew in one of our favorite coffee shops.
It's a random little tidbit about eating beans, right? You know, are you superstitious? You're kind of superstitious, right? Some things?
Mainly sports, but yeah.
Yeah. Do y'all do the black eyed pea on January 1 or New Year's Day?
I've never done it.
So my wife's big on that, and she always jokes. She always laughs, right? Because it's a pea. I don't like peas because they're like beans too, right? Kind of the same feel. So she always laughs. We always make sure we buy some black eyed peas, and I'll just throw one down the pipe. Like, I won't chew it. I'll just swallow one black eyed pea just to get that good luck. So if you want me to go to El Chaparral, I'll throw one bean down the pipe and I won't chew it.
so it's the texture and the way it looks, whatever.
Yeah,
so it feels. Can you do refried beans?
It's no,
why not?
Because it's
not,
still like a mush. It's just like I didn't have to chew it. It's just already a mush. Like, it's just that mush that feels funny.
What about mac and cheese?
That's different. I like mac and cheese.
It's kind of mushy.
Yeah, but not like that. Okay, I don't know something about it.
All right. We're getting somewhere. All right, Mouse. So besides all your cold brews hitting town, avoiding beans, which is pretty funny in San Antonio.
You know it.
The world wants to know, what are you watching?
Man, I'm a poor sport this week because I really don't have I haven't been watching anything like for me. It's been, I don't know, just one of those weeks, just on the go. I watched some. I did finish Good Girls with my wife. That show got canceled, I think, after season 4. So that 4th season just came out on Netflix, and we finished it up. Kind of ended kind of strange, but again, it got canceled, right? So it didn't. I think they expected it to come back. But watched that, and then I think I talked about it before, some reality TV. I usually, you know, you gotta spend some time with the missus. So I watched some of that with her, some Bravo, Below Deck, and Summer House, which are some reality TV shows that I've watched with her this week. But I didn't watch anything for me. It was all
nothing, huh? What's nothing, Below Deck? Because whenever I log into Peacock, they're always advertising it.
Yeah, so it's a reality show. Basically, they follow a yacht, and people charter it. So usually every episode, there's a new group of people that have chartered the yacht. You have the same people that work the yacht, right? The same stews or deckhands, right? People that work on the boat. Mm-hmm. That stays for the whole season, but every episode generally there's new people that board the boat, and it's just follows them throughout, and kind of the things they do. So you get some crazy people that go on the boat and do all sorts of stuff.
Look at you, husband of the year.
Yeah, I gotta put in
watching Bravo.
Yeah, not football season, man. I gotta do what I can. So
there you go. Yeah, you're building equity for football season.
Yeah, make up for it. Plus, she's pregnant too, so I'm trying to get some extra points.
Yep. You know, she don't care about those points. You better change diapers in the middle of the night. That's what. She's not gonna be like, oh, you know what? You watch Below Deck, so you don't have to change diapers.
Oh man, maybe I need to change my tactics.
Yeah. All right. Hey. I started a show. Well, I think, I don't know if I talked about it, but I'm watching Winning Time on HBO Max. It's about the Lakers' rise in the early 80s. Are you watching that?
No.
That's a really good show. It is extremely rated R, so your daughter cannot be in the room or anywhere near. Like, they just go hardcore. Like, they've decided Magic Johnson. It's a little overboard. It's kind of like, all right, we get it. Like, he's gonna get AIDS, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
Play it out so much, but it's a really good show. It's a really good show. It is so uncensored, unauthorized that Magic Johnson has publicly said he's not gonna watch it. Jeannie Buss isn't watching it, but it's a really good show. It's pretty interesting how things turned out for the Lakers and why they did. That's on HBO Max. It's really good. What else am I watching? I'm still watching Miss Maisel, almost done. That's on Amazon Prime. Still watching Abbott Elementary. That's on ABC and Hulu. I watched this show also on Hulu. It's called Have You Seen This Man? It's a three-part documentary about this dude who he defrauded a company. I think it was Microsoft or somebody. He got sentenced to prison, but his lawyer was able to make a deal where he can turn himself in, right? So he gets sentenced. All right, you got 18 years, whatever his sentence was. You got to turn yourself in on April 23rd, whatever the date was. And then the dude just vanished.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't want to give anything else away because it's only three episodes. And as they investigate the story, more and more craziness comes out as to his whole life and as to who he was and who might have helped him escape and where could he be. It's extremely interesting. It's only three episodes, quick watch. It's really good. I really recommend it. And as we speak right now, the Spurs are down one with 5 seconds left. So we're going to react in real time if they win this or not. What a great play.
Oh, no. Oh.
Spurs lose by one.
That one hurts.
That one, yeah.
Keldon had the left-hand layup.
It was a great design play. And everyone listening already will know what happened, but what a heartbreaking loss. What a way to show fight, though. I'm excited for this team because Memphis is an extremely good basketball team.
Do you call a foul on that play? Did he kind of
lean? You could, but I'm not going to be mad about it. They didn't. They didn't, obviously, but.
Oh.
And the last thing I watched, I didn't watch the Oscars, but obviously I've seen the slapper around the world.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? It's such a crazy situation.
Yeah, man, there's so many layers to it, right? Like you have Will Smith should not, a grown man shouldn't do that, put his hands on somebody else, but then he's protecting his wife, and then Jada's been embarrassing him for years, and he's, you know, it's just all sorts of weird stuff that's happening. Should have never happened, for sure. I will say, I don't think Chris Rock's joke really crossed any lines. I mean, he's a comedian. That's what they do. I've heard recently that, I guess, alopecia, what she has is the same thing men that bald have, right?
Yeah.
So bald men get made fun of all the time. So kind of weird. I don't think he crossed the line, and Chris Rock didn't deserve it, but I don't know if I blame Will for it either.
My issue. So I didn't see it in real time. By the time I saw it, it had happened, and he had already won the Oscar. So my issue with Will Smith is his stupid-ass speech after when he won. Crying and saying that God put him on this earth to protect women, and then he names random women that don't need his protection.
Yeah, that was weird.
He names the actresses on the movie he was on. He names the Williams sisters. It's like, come on, man, don't try to justify it like you're this big protector of women, and that's why you did what you did. And then he even brings up Denzel, like, oh, Denzel said the devil will come in your brightest moment. Like, come, just
Yeah.
own it. That's where I kind of was turned off with Will. It's like, come on, man. It's crazy to me that he can walk on stage, slap a man, walk back to his seat. He doesn't get escorted out of the building, and then he wins the biggest award.
That's the craziest of it all. Not even the smack, just that he got away with doing that in front of everybody. And nothing happened to him. But I guess only Will Smith, right? There's select few that can get away with something like that.
Yeah.
It's wild.
But I don't think it's like this huge, like I think they even asked the president's, the secretary, the White House press conference, somebody asked about that. Like, we don't need to be asking what the president, I don't care who the president is or what your thoughts. I come on, what are we asking the president about Will Smith slapping
Yeah.
somebody?
Yeah, I'm tired of the memes, right? Like, come on, it's
They
enough.
were funny though. They were good, but
Yeah.
yeah, we're recording this on Wednesday. Let's go ahead and wrap these up.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I saw a tweet. We're gonna give you till Thursday, and we're gonna go ahead and call these. And there's so many memes because Will Smith is super famous, and then of course his personal life's been out there for the last couple years. Yeah, the memes are good. That's the best part. When people try to overanalyze, or I like when people are so hardcore on one side or the other, fighting for these people that don't know them.
Yeah.
But the when Twitter get or social media gets creative and funny,
And
that's
it's
what I
so
like.
fast, right? Like that
Yes, people
shit,
are.
it's
I'm always so
quick.
impressed. I'm so impressed.
I know. And I'm like, man, some of the stuff is like, why did I think of that? Like that's
Yeah.
so good and so easy to think of, but they do it quick, man. They do it fast.
I'm always impressed. I'm always very impressed with people when they do it real quick like that. But that's the world. That's the good part of social media, how quick it happens.
Yeah.
Like, I even took my kid to baseball practice the day after, and the parents were like, the dads were asking, talking about
Yeah,
it's funny. And Chris Rock's all going on tour. I think it's like sold out all across
oh
America.
man.
So we'll see if he has any Will Smith jokes. But that's what we're watching. I don't have anything specific to review, but I wanted to ask you to end the episode. What are your favorite things to do or eat, or just give the listeners your favorite things for Fiesta, because Fiesta's kicking off this week.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, it could be
Is it?
specific, it could be your mindset, whatever you want to say about your what does Mouse do in Fiesta? What does he love about Fiesta? And what are
I'm
his
ex.
tricks of the trade?
You know, I'm excited because I've talked about it before. I'm, born and raised here in San Antonio, but I left like 10 years ago, roughly. Right in the last, I guess I've been back about 2 years now, and or right before COVID, so maybe 2.5 years, almost 3 years now. But I haven't had a real fiesta since I've been back. And so I'm pumped for it to be back. Now that being said, I got a pregnant wife, so I don't know how much fiesta I'll be doing.
Yeah, it will be.
But I'm excited for it, and I know the city's excited for it. So for me, I graduated from St. Mary's. So when I think of fiesta, I always think of Oyster Bake. Just because every year that, I mean, since way back when I've been going there, and then went to school there, and so we had a booth and we worked it, and still my friends from college are still working the booths, and so I definitely think oyster bake and chicken on a stick, right? That's the first thing that comes to my mind. King William's Fair is another big one that we try to do, and there's something special just about walking downtown in the market during Market Square, and so that's you get a real sense of. Go ahead.
No, so I agree with everything you said. Oyster Bake's big. When you're younger, or I guess even if you're not younger, but Nyosa is everybody go to. I haven't been to Nyosa in
That's
years.
yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. I forgot about that.
Are you still
Now
about
it's just
that downtown market life? Can you still do it?
So listen, so not at night. Maybe a quick daytime trip. I was actually at the today's Wednesday. About 5 o'clock, I was at the market square. I did a quick little trip. My wife had to go buy a shirt. She wanted a Fiesta shirt, and so we went down to the market, and it was weird seeing it so dead. The booths are kind of set up. Everybody's ready to go, but it wasn't calm. Popping yet, of course. Yeah, it was real calm.
I appreciate your honesty that you go at, you don't go at night. All right, all right.
Yeah,
definitely. We're not young bucks anymore.
No way, no, not at all. What about you? What comes to mind when you think Fiesta?
I've always been an oyster bait guy, and
so, yeah.
When I was younger, when we were younger, we'd go on Saturday when it's crazy packed and rowdy. Yep. Now that I got older, I started going on Fridays so I can actually enjoy the music. I can enjoy the food without waiting in a long line, the beer. I'm a big oysters guy. And I will say Oyster Bake lives up to its name. The oysters are always really, really good. Like, there's a difference. It's always top notch.
Yeah.
King William is always really good. It's become even bigger now that Southtown has become one of the, you know, hot spots of San Antonio. And if there's any like is Hemisphere Park started doing these free concerts down there, that's always pretty good. That's pretty good now.
Yeah. What did you?
What I? Yeah.
Did your family? Did y'all do parades when you were little?
No. I don't think I've ever seen the night parade. I might take the boys. I think that'd be something cool. I'm not a big parade guy, though.
Yeah.
But I need to take the boys. So, you know, you got to experience once, right? You're San Antonio.
I go buy a cold brew.
Yeah.
Go to the parade.
Nice cold night brew. The but, yeah, I would suggest if you're not from San Antonio, you got to come try it once or twice. Chicken on a stick is always legendary. And if you're from San Antonio, and I'm sure everybody's got their routines, we always did, you know, growing up, or, you know, when we were younger, we would do Oyster Bake that Saturday, and then Lyosa College Night was the big thing back in the day. Now that I'm married, children, Fiesta, I do Oyster Bake Friday, try to do King William real early. They have a parade too, as a matter of fact. I haven't been to the market for Fiesta in a while, but that might be something I do. Because that's always something, like, even if you're not really into Fiesta, you're not feeling the whole Fiesta, or you don't want to spend a bunch of money, any night in the next 2 weeks, you could just say, you know what, I'm going to go to the market. Even if it's just for an hour or two, you just get a little feel of it. And you could bounce. Because you're not paying a lot to get in. You're not paying anything to get in. So
anything, yeah. Go walk, go in the afternoon, grab a funnel cake.
Yeah.
A beer. Funnel cake on the way out.
There you go. Some tripas or something crazy. Yeah. All right, so I want to get your feel. I think we're on the same page there. If you're going to do Fiesta, have fun. I know it's been, they had it last year, but it was a little postponed, right? It was in the summertime.
Yeah.
This is the first, it feels back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think San Antonio's getting back to whatever our new normal is. It feels good. Even if I don't do much this year, I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it's around. But I just want to get your thoughts. And if we go, we'll post a few pictures, give a review. But that's what I wanted to get to. Have you ever done Taste of the North Side?
No, I've never been there. Uh-uh.
Either have I.
Heard good things about it, but I've never done it. I've been to the Taste of New Orleans.
I think that's one, right? That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one.
Done that a couple times.
All right, all right. So for the OGs that are going to take, you know, all their vacation at work the next 2 weeks and hit it up like crazy, go for it, man. I know some people make fun of that, or some people say, what? You know, some people want to hate on Fiesta, but hell, not me. Go all out. Even if I'm not doing all out this year, I hope everyone else does. Be safe. Hopefully it feels like, you know, we just talked about it. It feels like it's, you know, we're back to normal. The Spurs are playing meaningful basketball during Fiesta. That feels back to normal too. We're getting back, Mouse. Getting back to our roots.
Yeah, feels good.
But be safe if you're gonna go out there. Next week we'll know more about where the Spurs are. I mean, now we know they're definitely in the hunt, in a 10th spot. Maybe they'll climb up to the 9th or maybe 8th, but we'll talk way more Spurs. We'll get ready for the NFL draft and anything else that comes up. Until then, go Spurs, go.